kids. Oh, I'm sorry, kids.
Children. See you, kiddos. Have a good time with Miss Melissa. Enjoy yourselves.
Amen. Enjoy your sweets.
Yes. Is it okay if I sing a song? Come here. Come here, Melody. Yeah. Since we're talking about how good God is, and I had to help my wife on Thursday night with the ladies' little Bible study group at Miss Sue's home. A good Terry Clark song, a pioneer of Jesus music back in the 70s. God is so good. God, you're so good to me. You've always been so good to me. Eternity. God, you're so good. Oh, yes, he is. God, you're so good to me. You've always been so good to me. I'll sing it for eternity. God, you're so good. Come on, sing with me. God, you're so good to me. You've always been so good to me. I'll sing it for eternity. God, you're so good. I want to praise you. And I want to praise your name all night long and every day. I'll stand and worship you my whole life through. God, you're so good to me. You've always been so good to me. I'll sing it for eternity. God, you're so good. God, you're so merciful. God, you're so merciful. You've always been so merciful. Your blessings are so bountiful. God, you're so good. Oh, yes. And I want to bring, sing your praises all night long and every day. Well, I'll stand and worship you my whole life through. God, you're so good to me. You've always been so good to me. I'll sing it for eternity. God, you're so good. Amen. Well, praise God. It is good to be back with you. I had a good time last weekend. Ran down to Marshall, Texas to celebrate with our friends, Pastor Gino Munns and his church there. Family Life Outreach Center. Yeah, FLOC, yeah. And one of my favorite preachers of all time, David Cook, who happens to be my cousin, was speaking there for them at their 10-year anniversary, and it was just good to be with them. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. And in going through this, I don't know what we call it, series of possessing the land, coming into chapter 2, we're going to be looking at the story of Rahab. Rahab, who is also known as Rahab the harlot. And so let's just pray here before we get going. Father God, we thank you that you are the light of our lives, that you are our hope, that you are our salvation, Father, and we can come to you. Lord, we ask that you would just bless this message, Lord God. I pray that you would prepare the hearts and minds of the hearers, Lord God, to hear what your word is saying, that you have a word for each and every person here today, Lord God, that you've destined it to be, oh God. You want to raise us up to know you more, and we just ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm just going to read for you the second chapter of Joshua. So we get the overview, and then we're going to dive into who Rahab was and what it means and what why this story is there. So let's do that. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us," that is the children of Israel, "has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father and my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household into your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless, and whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you have made us swear." Then she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord to the window. I'm going to stop right there. Now, this story comes to us, and we meet this woman, Rahab, known as Rahab the harlot. And we all know what a harlot is, a prostitute that made her means, plied her trade with men for money. Now, it's not such a strange thing that men would be going to her house and that strange men would be going to her house. Happened all the time. So the king, knowing this, knowing that these men come to her house and that possibly it might have been, maybe somebody's watching out telling them, because they knew that the children of Israel out there lurking on the other side of Jordan and just waiting, they're coming this way. They've already taken the southern part of this land here, and they're on their way up. There's something going on here, and they might be coming our way to get us. So when the king hears that these two strange men have come into their city and have gone in to meet with this lady, Rahab, he sent for her right away. Now, more than likely, what was going on here is that Rahab, being a harlot and a prostitute, more than likely this was part of their worship. And this is part of the detestable things that went on in the land that God was so emphatic about abolishing, destroying, utterly destroying the inhabitants of the land because of their worship. What went on in Canaan worship, they worship either, had different names, but the most popular names that would come to us are Baal, B-A-A-L, and Ashtaroth. Both one being a male god of fertility, and one being a female god of fertility. And their belief was that these gods, in their worship, when they would have intercourse as part of their worship, that they were blessing the land, and they were blessing their crops, and they were blessing increase, and they were asking for increase of these pagan gods. So this was really part of her job. This is what she was either given to by her father. She had no husband, as we read here, because she was, no husband is mentioned here, just that her father and her mother were part of her household, and that they were living with her. So it boggles our mind to think of it, that this is the way, but more than likely she was given to that position as a young child and was dedicated to do that. But there was something different about Rahab. She had a heart that could discern. She had a heart that could see and understand God and the things of this world. I don't believe that it was something in her that she detested or did not like or couldn't hardly bear with being what she was, knowing that there must be something more to her life than to have to lay with men all her life, and that's all she was good for. Now, it's kind of uncomfortable here, but I just want you to see who this person was and what her life was like. Rahab, to us, is proof of the grace of God in the Old Testament, that God's plan has always been to deal with us as an individual, that he loves you right where you sit. He is concerned about your future and wants to bring to you a brighter future. He wants to give to you hope. He wants to raise you up from the sin that so easily besets you and holds you back from having a relationship with him. He wants to wash that all away. And he did so with the blood of Jesus at Calvary. Thus we see a scarlet cord, a rope, if you will, being let down from her window. The scarlet thread of redemption that's weaved throughout the Old Testament until we see Jesus come forth in the book of Matthew in the New Testament. You see, Rahab was not merely just a prostitute that helped a couple of spies from Israel. Rahab is the great grandmother of Jesus. And yes, it's beautiful. It's awesome. She is in the lineage of Jesus, one of the four infamous, as you will, women of the lineage of Jesus: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. And you talk about putting 50 shades of whatever that is to shame. You read the story of Tamar, and it'll make you blush. I mean, the other day we were reading Proverbs with our daughter, and we came to that one. That one of let her be a loving roe or doe and let her breast satisfy you all the days of your life. Dad read through that really quickly, and we just moved right along. But if you want to go in and possess the land, and I believe that God has land for us to possess here in the United States of America, Wood County being where we reside, that is. So if we were going to possess the land, and that means to be a blessing to those around us and to have an effect on their life, to bring them into relationship with Christ just as we know him, we need to have a heart that is after God. Rahab had a heart that was after God. So let's dive in here and let's look at this story in a little bit more in-depth way. First point is this, that if you want to possess the land, you need to have a heart that fears the Lord. If you look at what verse 11 says, it says like this. This is Rahab talking to the spies here. She says that, well, in verse 9, you see there, the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water. And then verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, capital letters, Lord your God, he is God, he, capital letters, he is God, capital G, in heaven above and on earth beneath. Emphasis given there. This is Rahab speaking to them. Your God is something different about your God. Your God produces action. Your God has results. When he wants something to get done, something gets done. Nothing is going to stand in the way of the will of your God, because your God is real. Your God is alive. Your God is on the move. Your God will not be stood against in any way, shape, or form. When the children of Israel had a heart after God, and they yearned after him, and they strove after him, and they worked together, nothing stood in their way. But when sin entered the camp, when their eyes begin to wander to other places, that's when trouble began. So we need to have a heart that fears the Lord. And that word fear has some obvious connotations to it, in that fear is to be afraid, to have dread, to have terror. But when dealing with God, it takes on a different nuance. It takes on the meaning of a reverential awe, a worshipful respect, which should lead us to obedience and service. It's not just merely being afraid of God. See, if Rahab would have been just merely afraid of God and not had a reverence for him, more than likely she wouldn't have taken the spies in, or she would have told on them. But since she had a reverence for God, she sensed something about this God of Israel that was different from anything that she'd ever heard of or been around before in her life, that it caused her to yearn after that God, to long after that God, to long to be saved by that God. Fear and dread will cause men to do some very strange things. It can cause a man to become hard in his heart. And I believe that that's what happened to most of the inhabitants of the land. Their hearts became hard. Who do they think they are? Who does that God of theirs think he is coming in and taking our lands? Well, I just want you to know today that they were nothing but a bunch of immigrants themselves anyways living in that land, that they had no possession. They were just living there at that time. They had come in and taken over somebody else. So you kind of got to expect that something, you know, if the bigger guy comes around, he's going to take it back away. That's just what went on in those days. But those inhabitants of those lands had no fear of the true God of Israel, the true God that loved them, the true God that made that land that they lived in. No reverence for him whatsoever. They did what was right in their own eyes and worshiped God. And this is something that we, as we look at this and we look at world religions, we see how that most of them are very male-dominated. You look at the Muslim religion. It is absolutely 100% male-dominated. No freedom for women. The Word of God and Christian missionaries have done more for the cause of women's rights around the world than anything else in this world. By setting women free, turning them loose from the bondages of slavery, of sex slavery, and just being mere objects and treated as cattle and property of men. That was not God's design, never has been God's design, never has been God's desire, and never will be God's desire. That every man, woman is made an individual in his likeness, and he loves them as they are, and he wants to set them free. He wants to liberate them to be the best person that they can be. And the only way that they can be that is by worshiping him and seeking after his heart and his face. A heart that fears God will be a heart that will possess the land. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs, and we know it all too well, that Proverbs 1, that 1 and verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be wise, if you want to have knowledge, if you want to have true understanding, it starts with the fear of the Lord, an awe and a reverence of God that is greater than just being afraid of. Because we can trick ourselves into not being afraid. We can psych ourselves up to not be afraid. But I guarantee you, when you stand in the presence of God, there is nothing you can do but bow your head. Amen. You can't even look at him. No man's ever seen the face of God. No man. Second thing that we need, if we want to possess the land, we need to have a heart that trusts, a heart that trusts God. We look at verses 3 through 10. So the king of Jericho, this is something that it took a lot of trust here on Rahab's part, because she's in essence becoming a turntail, the turncoat. Traitor. Thank you very much. A Benedict Arnold, if you will. A traitor to the cause of Jericho, to her own people. So, traitor, not traitor. There we go. A traitor. So verse 3 and through 10, it says, so the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out these men. He questioned her. You can imagine the interrogation that went on with the king and her, and the verbal jabs that went back and forth, and her being the humble, playing the humble, however she did it, I don't know, but she sweet-talked the king, and he was satisfied with her answer enough. But it wouldn't have happened that way unless she had a heart that trusted God. Her heart trusted God so much that she was able to let go of all that she knew, of all that she had grown up being, and all that she had been taught. Somehow that meant had no meaning to her any longer. It held no water. It held no value to her, because she knew that her life was at stake here. She risked her life for a chance at life, if you will. Gave up what she knew to have a chance at a real life. I'm telling you what, there are those entities, those, I can't even call them people, in the world that would go about kidnapping young women and forcing them into sexual slavery. Terrible tragedy. I think of my daughter, 13 years old. There's no bound of there's nothing that I would not do to try to save her. Blood would be shed, is all I can say, to save her from something like that. I would lie, steal, cheat, do whatever I had to do to win her back. But this is the life that Rahab lived. Do you understand that? That's what she grew up as. So a chance, an opportunity to break free from that and to have a real life, a real family of her own. Because the Baal god asks for child sacrifice. So if a child was to come of worship to that god, that child was given to that god and burned as a sacrifice for that god. Detestable in the eyes of God, and had to be stamped out and obliterated. That's why when they went in to Jericho later on, everybody was killed. That was God's plan. He wanted to obliterate that. He wanted to do away with that, because anybody involved in that does not have a heart that trusts after God. And that's what God wants, and that's what God desires. Rahab had a heart of service and self-sacrifice. She gave of herself. Her desire was to spare her family. Spare my family, she said in verse 13. Spare them. So hearts that trust God will be unafraid and unrestrained. They'll be unafraid of men. They'll be unafraid of culture. They'll be unafraid of society. They'll be unafraid of government. They'll stand in the face of government, and they won't be afraid because they believe in God first. I'm telling you what, folks, it could come to this in the United States of America, the land that we love so much, that we might have to stand in the face of government and be unafraid and say, I don't care what you say, you're going against the Word of God, and the Word of God is supreme in my life. I am a citizen of heaven first, then I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Amen? Amen? Pray to God that it never has to come to that. Secondly, she was unrestrained in her heart, unrestrained from doing all that she could do to protect and honor the God that she longed for. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen? Amen? Trust in the Lord, a heart that trusts. First, a heart that fears. Secondly, a heart that trusts. And thirdly, a heart that follows. We need to have hearts that are willing to follow God, to be obedient to God's word. In verses 15 through 21, we see that she is obedient in the word that she gave them. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. She said to them, go, get yourself to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go on your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath that you've made us swear. So I'm going to skip on down there. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. For whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on you. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord to the window. She followed through. She was obedient to the word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 22, the prophet speaking to Saul after they had gone into battle and won the battle, but Saul did not totally obey what God had told him to do and to kill everything. He spared some of the choice cattle and sheep and livestock, and even spared the life of the king. But the word of the prophet came to Saul saying, look, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. See, it's always been God's desire that he possess our hearts, that he is the owner of our hearts, because he is the one who made us. It is really silly when you think about it, that created beings such as we are would stand in defiance to the God of heaven and say, I own myself. I own my destiny. Ye gads. Do you realize what you are saying? Your very eternity depends on it. But God always desired that we be obedient to him rather than just go through some outward motions and do some silly dances or whatever it was in order to try to please him. And that's really all that any kind of idol worship is just a bunch of silly flagellations and motions and actions to try to please God. All other religions try to please God. It's all based on works, what you do, what you do, what you do, not what he did, as the Christian doctrine states it. It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. And as she let down that scarlet cord out of the window, which I don't know, I imagine that was the rope that the guys walked down the walls of her household to be let out. That scarlet cord was their salvation to get away from the city, to escape. And that very same cord was the salvation that God was looking for to save her. That was the mark, the scarlet cord, that house would not fall. All the other walls of Jericho fell flat, but not that one. Her house was spared, and they stayed inside. And the spies that had gone to her went to her house and made sure that they were protected and they were taken care of and that they were safe. Obedience to God's word. If you're going to have a possess the land, you have to have a heart that fears, a heart that trusts, and a heart that follows. Follows God in obedience, that's willing to do what God would ask you to do. Fourthly, a heart that receives. A heart that receives blessing and God's promises. Amen? Amen. You got to be ready to receive the blessings of God and the promises of God. God has some promises for his children, and we are going to possess them if we're obedient to him, if we follow after him. We have a heart that fears for him and trusts him, and we're reverential of him. We're going to receive blessing from that. In Joshua chapter 6, in verses 17 and 25, we see here the culmination. It's a long story. You should read it sometime. I'm not sure many of you already have, how that the walls of Jericho fell flat after the walking around it six times, once a day for 6 days, and then seven times, and then a shout, woo! Awesome stuff. This can be very dramatic. Maybe I'll get to preach that sometime. I don't know. And I'll have fun doing it if I do, I can guarantee you. Because I guarantee, one thing for sure is when I'm up here, I'm having fun. I really enjoy doing what I do. And I hope you do as well. Egads, Dallas is preaching again. Oh, no. I hope that's not the case. But if you look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, so now the city shall be doomed. This is Joshua talking. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all who are with her in the house. Then verse 25, and Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Because of Rahab's heart for God, she was blessed. And that blessing extended to her family as well. Not only were their lives spared, but her possessions as well. She was able to live freely, and God turned her circumstances around. No longer a slave to the desires of men, but was married and became the great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus. So she was able to become an honest woman, if you will, to get married, actually get married and be able to have a husband that truly loved her and took care of her. She didn't have to give herself up any longer. She was able to be an honest woman and love God and learn to love God and learn to love others and learn the ways of God and be able to be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Salvation came from this woman, if you will, because God had his hand on her. He's looking in the earth today for people who have a heart after God. Melody, if you can come up here right now and play. God is searching and looking for people, the people of Quitman, of the greater Wood County area, people that would have a heart after him, people that would long after him, people that would trust him and fear him, revere him, and be his people. There are a lot of people in this area that are in bondage. You can see it on their faces. They're bound up in alcohol, bound up in methamphetamines. You see them every day. You might not realize it. You might not realize what's going on. You think that, wow, that person's weird there. Well, they weren't always that way. They didn't always go. They didn't always do that. But I've seen it in my own hometown of Marysville, California. My hometown was famous this week. And the teenagers that went in on a rampage through terrorized a grocery store in Marysville, California, just, you know, throwing stuff off the shelves and being disorderly and taking alcohol right off the shelves and drinking it in the store and then throwing the bottles down, busting them. Wow, I'm proud of my town. But that's what comes from people who have no fear, people who have no respect and no restraint, children that aren't taught well. There were teenagers doing that. Someone needs a whooping. That's all I'm got to say. Someone needed to have had them a long time ago. It might have made a difference. But that's what we have in our community. If they don't know the Lord, they have no restraint, they have no thought for anybody else other than themselves. It's coming to that. But we have the answer. And God help us if we don't make a difference. Let's spread that love around, amen? Let's just stand right now. Lord, I just thank you for the people of Living Waters Fellowship, Lord, just the spirit of these people, Lord, it's beautiful.